Opposition parties fear that Musharraf will push the country further away from its fragile democracy if the current confrontation is not resolved. For Free Speech Radio News, I am Masroor Hussain with Miranda Kennedy in Islamabad, Pakistan.
This is Free Speech Radio News. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
Listen to 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook, where machines rock.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is off the wall. We're back after 2 weeks. And, all reggae'd out, I think. If you've been listening to the radio station for the last week, or 5 days last week, you would have heard nothing but reggae music. And what a lot of fun that was. Unless, of course, you're living north of 25A, then you might have heard some classical music, too. But never mind that. Just a little inside joke here. It's, Well, let's get started on kind of a somber note, because a lot has happened in the last couple of weeks, and we haven't had a chance, obviously, to cover things that we weren't here for. And, of course, you know, I know it's on everyone's mind. We might as well just go right to it. And that is, of course, the death of Senator Strom Thurmond. Beloved right-wing conservative racist senator from South Carolina, was it? North Carolina? Doesn't matter. I don't know. But regardless, the man deserves some respect, so I'll thank you to bow your heads down now and observe with me as we pay tribute by playing his favorite song. The man was into music, and he had great taste. One of his favorite songs, in fact, was the Star-Spangled Banner, and that should tell you something about his taste right there, you know? And you know, this is something I've never done. Ever, on any radio station, on any radio show. But I feel it's important that I do it now. I feel it's important that I pay tribute in this way. And for those of you who are offended, I apologize. But come on. It's a national anthem, for God's sake. Yeah, that's right. We're going to play it. If you got a problem with it, well, that's just too bad. Only lasts a minute and 18 seconds anyway, so let's get started. You know, it brings back memories of an innocent time for me. We don't live in the same period anymore. We don't live in the time where this song actually meant something, where everybody knew the words, where just hearing those familiar chords and familiar syllables would bring tears to your eyes. And those days just aren't here anymore. Anyway, let's take a listen, and hopefully it'll evoke some emotion in you. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener. My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. Baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with me.
Still sends chills down my spine to this day. Wow. How could you not be moved by that? And that's, of course, the memory of Senator Strom Thurmond. How could you not be moved by him? Well, as I mentioned, a lot has been going on. We have a lot of ground to cover. Of course, this is a call-in show. We open up the phone lines for those of you who want to call in a little bit later, probably, because if you call in now, you'll probably get disconnected anyway. Just take note of the phone number. 631-632-WUSB. And for those that don't know what those letters correspond to, that's 9872. Okay, where do we start? Well, 4th of July, yeah, the 4th of July. I guess, you know, you might have heard that song at the 4th of July celebrations. I'm sure some of you, actually stayed around. I will bet, and this is serious, that more people know the lyrics to the Oscar Mayer song than know the lyrics to the Star-Spangled Banner, you know? And I'm not criticizing those people. I'm not saying that they're, you know, stupid or not patriotic or anything like that. It's a better song. You know, the Oscar Mayer Wiener song is a better song than our national anthem. I'm sorry, it just is. The words make more sense, you know, they flow better. They stick with you. They make you think a little more, too. And, okay, fine, and those of you who do know what the lyrics to the Star-Spangled Banner are, do you know that there's a couple of more verses? I bet nobody knows those. Yeah, you can all look it up on the web now and pretend you know it, but God help you if you're at a ball game and they decide to go into the next couple of verses. You'll be just standing there with a foolish look on your face. All right, what happened over the last couple of weeks? Well, July 4th, I'd like to know if anybody did anything interesting. You know, sometimes people do interesting things on July 4th, sometimes they don't. Somehow, I always get dragged into it. I don't know how it happens. I always say I'm not going to, like, you know, be in the city watching the fireworks, but sometimes you just can't avoid it, and it just seems to always happen where I'm there. And I happen to just be in Manhattan on top of a roof and, you know, well, why not? You know, they're firing off these things everywhere. It's kind of fun to watch. It's more fun, though, to see people's reactions and to hear people's reactions. You know, I mean, people in the street, people on the water, you know, in boats and on the shore, and people on other roofs, you can hear them all, you know. And these things are going off, you know, these red, white, and blue fireworks everywhere, and all kinds of weird patterns, little sparkly things, and smiling faces, and all kinds of other patterns. Although, you know, to me, it seems like by now, fireworks should be doing a whole lot more than what they do. You know, they go up in the air, and they explode into the nice little patterns and light and things like that, but I mean, look at how far other technology has advanced in the last 50 years. Fireworks are pretty much doing the same thing, you know? I think they should be going all through the sky, writing words, and making little animated programs up there in the heavens. Surely they could have figured that out by now. Or maybe have fireworks in outer space, huh? Has NASA even considered that? No, they're too busy trying to find water on Mars. You know, it's a question of values. It's a question of priorities. But anyway, I digress. I was in the city watching fireworks, and it was all fun and all that. But, you know, you have to wonder about people who just, I think they take it way too seriously. I mean, why applaud a particular fire? I mean, who is listening to you clapping your hands? You know? I don't understand. I mean, yeah, just, you know, sit back and watch and, you know, think to yourself. But all this, you know, whooping it up for whoever is around you. I don't get that. And then you got the people coming up with the camcorders. You know, they're up there on the roof getting this down because nobody else is ever going to get it. You know, thank God this person's on the roof recording the fireworks of 2003. You know, with his little Sony camcorder there. That'll make for an interesting time gathered round, you know, at a holiday celebration sometime. Hey, let's bring out the old tape of fireworks July 4th. That'll make things really seem pleasant here. I don't know, Kyle. Those look like the fireworks of 2001. Are you sure you got the right tape in? I should talk, though. I mean, I tape a lot of things, but I don't tape things that everybody in the world is taping. In this time, though, where, you know, you have to wonder what people are really up to, where you have to be suspicious of your neighbor, and you have to report everybody. Why would somebody be up there recording something like that? Something that's so common, you know, something that everybody else is seeing, something there's absolutely no need to record. Unless they know something else is about to happen. And they're going to document that. Yeah. So you have to, you know, really be careful with, you know, the people that you see every day. And you have to have your cellular phone handy so that you can report them on the spot if you see them doing something suspicious, like recording fireworks. I do feel like a good citizen, I have to say. Maybe he was, you know, up to nothing. Maybe he was a completely innocent person. Maybe he was just, you know, recording these things for his own personal use. Although God knows what that would be. It's not for me to decide. It's for the tribunal at Guantanamo Bay. They will take care of it. All right. 4th of July. So, yeah, that's pretty much the extent of it as far as I can see. I mean, you know, I'm more interested in the fireworks that people set off. You know, looking out over Brooklyn, looking out over Jersey, you see these other fireworks going up. Not the big Grouchy things, you know, that sound like atomic blasts and set off car alarms, too. Car alarms everywhere were going off. Man, talk about sensitive. I mean, they were just a little boom, you know, nothing major. The Concorde makes more noise over Long Island when it goes sonic over the Atlantic Ocean. I wonder if anybody actually hears that. I hear that in my house. I hear the sonic boom, both when it comes back here and when it goes there. And there's only one now. The I believe the British one stopped? And the French one is the one that's going now. I think that's right. And so every day at around, I think, 8 in the morning, it takes off for Paris. And every day at about 5 o'clock, it comes back. Might be two different planes. I don't know. But if you're wondering, you hear something that sounds like thunder, it's actually a sonic boom. Your windows may rattle. You might hear something over in the distance. And, you know, I pointed this out to a few people, and I've said, you know, hear that sound? Like, yeah, it's thunder. Thunder? There's not a cloud in the sky. You don't get thunder when there's no clouds anywhere. And that's when I explained to them what it is they actually heard. That's the Concorde. Yeah. Sound travels. Sometimes it's really, really loud. Sometimes it really scares you. It might even set off your car alarm. Who knows? And it's a sound you're not going to hear for very much longer. I think starting October, the last Concorde will cease flying. And that will be the end of that. Anyway, yes, I'm more interested in watching fireworks that, you know, normal people are setting off. And that's one of the reasons why I like to go to Amsterdam during New Year's, because that's what they do over there. New Year's Eve, for a couple of hours before midnight and a couple of hours after, you cannot walk around that city without feeling like you're in the middle of a war or something. It's just unbelievable. Fireworks coming out of the, you know, craziest places you would never imagine them coming out of. None of them official. All of them coming from human beings that are in the crowd. No cops anywhere. And somehow everyone has fun, and it's a great time. I mean, of course, I'm scared out of my wits, because I'm from here and I'm used to, you know, feeling danger in a situation like that. But everybody else, you know, including babies and dogs. All right, maybe not dogs. Dogs have this universal fear of fireworks, but definitely babies. They're smiling and laughing and you know, having the time of their life. All these explosions are going on around them. And that's a real celebration right there. So if you ever feel like trying something different, go to Amsterdam for New Year's. Or maybe anywhere for New Year's. I don't know. I'm just used to the United States and, you know, our various restrictions. I mean, try walking around Times Square on New Year's and set off a single firecracker, see what happens to you. Okay, so what else is new? Well, we got some free speech issues, quite a few of those, actually. Spike TV, yeah, they settled. They settled. Filmmaker Spike Lee and Viacom have settled a lawsuit that Lee filed to keep the media giant from calling its TNN cable television network Spike TV, and what I think is one of the most ridiculous lawsuits ever to have been filed. And, you know, it pains me to say that because I really respect Spike Lee and the work he does, but this, I mean, come on, because they're naming a TV network the same name as your first name, which isn't even your legal first name, somehow you think that that's got something to do with you? I mean, come on, let's put the ego back down on earth a little bit. Anyway, Lee had obtained a temporary injunction in June preventing the name change, but on Monday, State Supreme Court Justice Walter Tulloch lifted the order. And the ruling means that Viacom, which also owns CBS and MTV, don't they own Blockbuster Video, too? They own a lot of things. It can proceed immediately with plans, and they own UPN, don't they? Because CBS owns UPN, I think. I'm not sure. I don't know. I can't keep track of it anymore. Viacom can proceed immediately with plans to rebrand TNN as Spike TV, the first television network for men. They've already been saying that. Yeah, I've been looking at it. I don't watch that crap, but I was looking at it to see what they were doing, you know, if they were actually going to use the word. They haven't started using it yet, as far as I can see. Viacom said it was renaming TNN Spike TV to attract more men to an audience already two-thirds male. See, now, this is the part of marketing I don't get, you know. How's naming it Spike TV? What males out there are going to say, hey, Spike TV, now I got to turn it on? when it's the national network of TNN or, you know, just the first television network for men, nah, I'm not going to turn that on. Spike TV, oh, yeah, I'm there. I don't get it, you know. I don't understand that basic act of marketing. I never understand marketing. That's why I am where I am today. Details on the settlement were not disclosed. I'm not sure what kind of settlement they could have reached, especially if the judge lifted the order. And that's the other thing that bothers me, is when they reach these settlements, you never find out what the settlement was, you know? I mean, Spike Lee might have to, like, you know, park cars for them now. That might be part of the settlement, you know? I'd like to know what it was. I mean, did he actually get money out of this? Did they get money from him? I mean, they say they lost a huge amount of money because of this. Another thing, I can't quite understand how they did that. You know, where do you actually lose the money by not naming your network something? It's unbelievable. Spike Lee said that Viacom was renaming TNN in a deliberate attempt to hijack his name, image, and reputation. He said he objected to being associated with lowbrow programming, and that's something I agree with him 1,000% on that, but I don't think he was being associated with it. Maybe to himself he was, by hearing the word Spike, but I certainly wasn't, and I don't think many people were. The judge initially ordered Lee to post a $500,000 bond on June 13th after he issued a temporary injunction against Viacom's plan to rename TNN. But after a hearing 2 weeks ago, the judge raised the bond to $2.5 million and gave Lee until Monday to post it. You know, when they raise the bond fivefold, you have a really good argument. During the hearing, TNN Vice President Kevin Kay said the network had lost millions of dollars since the injunction and stood to lose millions more if the bar continued. It's amazing. You lose all this money by not calling yourself Spike TV. I guess we're losing a ton of money here by not being Spike Radio. Anyway, Lee's lawyer, Terry Gross, says, we have settled the case with Viacom. It's obviously good when parties settle. Maybe. We'll see about that. Anyway, funny thing is that Lee's working on a film called Sucker Free City for Showtime, and Showtime, guess what? They're owned by Viacom. So no hard feelings there. Oh, and this is good news. This is such wonderful news. You know that guy, that idiot Michael Savage who's on MSNBC and does the hate radio thing all throughout the country? Well, he finally did himself in. Yeah. Mike Savage's MSNBC show, The Savage Nation, was canceled because of homophobic remarks made by the host on the July 5th edition of the show. It's according to an Associated Press report, and this is coming to us from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Those comments labeling a caller a sodomite and telling him to get AIDS and die were the subject of a Fair Action alert earlier. MSNBC spokesman Jeremy Gaines told the Associated Press his comments were extremely inappropriate and the decision was an easy one. Over the past 5 months, Fair activists have written more than 2,000 individual letters to MSNBC expressing their concerns about Savage's record of bigotry and hate and criticizing the network for hiring a host who routinely traffics in slurs while firing host Phil Donahue over his anti-war views. Now, for those of you who are worried about Mike Savage going on the unemployment line, don't worry. He still can be heard on 300 radio stations across the country. Hate speech lives on. But, you know, I'm getting pretty fed up with these, I call them bleeding heart fascists. That's what they are. You know, people that will say, oh, my God, you're depriving Michael Savage of his rights. MSNBC should never have hired this guy in the first place. He's a hate monger. Who can be surprised that he would finally come out and say something stupid like this? Even Fox wouldn't hire this guy. I mean, yeah, it's a pitiful attempt to bring in ratings. But a whole lot of respect went out the door. Yeah, you got every right to spew all the hatred you want, but there are ramifications. You know? If I go and burn a flag at a Veterans Day parade, you know, I've got the right to do it. But I'm not going to be surprised when there's going to be some ramifications. I'm not saying violence is necessary. Violence, I think, is always wrong. But, not everybody shares that view. And even if there were no violence involved in burning a flag at a Veterans Day parade, I still would expect some harsh criticism, you know? And all kinds of other nasty words thrown my way. But, you got to speak out against this thing. The people that don't speak out, that just, tolerate it and say, oh, well, you know, it's just another view. It's not, that kind of thing is simply spreading all kinds of hatred and ignorance. And then the rest of the world sees this and they think that's what America is all about. It's not. A lot of intelligent people out there. The problem is the intelligent people are too laid back. You know, they don't speak up enough. They don't express themselves with passion. That's why we wind up with, Twiddledum and Twiddledee running for president. Because people, they decide to be refined. They decide to, not raise their voices. Not to, say, this is enough. I'm fed up. That's how that guy got on the air in the first place, by raising his voice, by drawing attention. Well, sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to be a little loud, rude, obnoxious. Sometimes it's the only way to get your point across. Nice guys finish last, all that kind of thing. Wait, look, why do you think? Why do you think that radio and television in the United States is in such pathetic shape? Because people aren't standing up demanding better. Excuse me. As I choke on my own words. You can get better, you know? I mean, this is a weird example, all right? This is a weird example. But they showed South Park on Comedy Central over the weekend, and they showed it uncensored. Yeah, they had commercials, no big deal. Okay, I can deal with commercials. It's a commercial network, after all. Even though when cable TV started, there were no commercials on it. People would never have paid for commercials. But now we pay for commercials. Okay, whatever. But the thing that really bothers me is you have these not-over-the-air networks, and they cut everything to ribbons. Things the rest of the world see. They just slice it up. Any four-letter word. No, you can't have that. It's a basic cable network. A basic cable network. For some reason, basic cable networks now have to abide by the same ridiculous laws as broadcast networks. And you have to make up all kinds of, crazy substitute curse words. Which somebody ought to come up with a good dictionary of. I watched Pulp Fiction on Channel 11 once. Boy, that was funny. That was hilarious. Because every other word is a four-letter word, but they made new four-letter words. So, yeah, they showed South Park bigger, longer run cut. That's the name of the film. And they showed it without any kind of cuts. And all kinds of four-letter words in there. And the reason why you don't see things, I'm not saying, you know, that's the goal, is to have four-letter words all over the place. I'm saying the goal is to have pieces of art, which, no matter what you think of South Park, it is a piece of art, to have them shown the way they were intended to be shown. And not have all these people pawing over it and saying, well, we can't have this word go out, we have to have this word instead, because otherwise people will be offended. You know, people are offended, they can go somewhere else. Or they can, you know, yell and scream and have some kind of effect in a different way, as what happened to Martin Savage there. Michael Savage. Sorry. You know, I wish hate speech was given the same restrictions as regular speech. But it's not, you know. Hate speech, go ahead. Say whatever is on your mind, because that's like, you know, that's expressing an opinion. But to show a female breast? Oh, no, you can't do that. That's, oh, boy, people will really get offended by that. And to have the S-word over the air, well, no one's ever heard that before. What will they think if they hear this? And, you know, I'll bet Comedy Central got no complaints whatsoever about this, because who in the world is going to tune in to see the South Park movie and expect it to be cut? Especially on the network that spawned it in the first place. So I think if people stand up and say, you know, this is good, you did a good thing, then they'll do it again. And if you call up every time you see a film that you like cut to ribbons on another network, maybe they'll stop doing that. The thing is, don't accept it. Don't accept what's going on and say, well, that's just the way it is. Voice your opinions. Be obnoxious. Be loud if you have to. Just don't be refined. Politeness, man, that doesn't get you anywhere. You know, in Canada, and I know this because I get Canadian TV, which I never stop talking about because it's just so cool. That's how I get the BBC and all kinds of alternative news that you never see here. But they have a commercial network called CTV, Canadian television. They show The Sopranos on there. And yeah, they have commercials. But you know what? They don't cut a single word. They don't cut a single picture. It's all there. And CTV is an over-the-air TV network. It's not just a cable thing. It's, you can get that on any TV set in Canada. So if they ever get around to showing The Sopranos in syndication here in this country, you can bet they're probably going to cut every single, you know, word out of it. And most people will just accept it because that's the way it is. In Canada, however, people, you know, when they were thinking about doing that, people raised objections. And CTV said, all right, you know what? We're going to air it the way it's intended to be aired. And that's what they're doing. Getting great ratings, too. Why is it important? It's only TV? You see, that's the thing. That's the other thing that really gets me. Are these people that say, you know, well, it's television. Who cares about television? I don't have a television. I don't watch television. You ask them, you know, hey, did you see this thing? I don't have television. Well, okay, but did you maybe, you know, I don't pay attention to the news. I don't know what's going on in the world. Okay, whatever. These are the same people then that go out and see Charlie's Angels at the movie theater. These are the same people that know the plot of the Hulk, you know, and go to see Terminator 3. They know all that. They sit through, dutifully, the commercials at the beginning of these things, and they pay $10 to do it. But no, I don't see television. I don't watch television. That's bad. That's stupid. You know why it's stupid? Because there's a lot of good things on TV. You have to search for them a little bit, but they're there. And in America, you have to search a whole lot harder. But there are some pretty good things out there, if you know where to look. And if you, you know, if you spoke up more, maybe you'd see even more good things. Maybe TV would stop being this monopolistic propaganda tool of mediocrity that's turned into here. It could actually be an effective tool for social change, as it is everywhere else in the world, if we cared enough to support that kind of a thing and to prevent the, you know, the people that take it over from continuing to take it over. And, you know, it's not just in this country. I mean, we have Clear Channel owning just about every radio station in the country. They're outside in the parking lot. They're just waiting for us to, like, you know, leave the place unlocked or something. They want this. They want every station. They want all the stations. And then, you know, when you, I don't know if you listened to Free Speech Radio News before this program, but they were talking about Clear Channel's history with the war and how they basically were covering the war in a positive way only. Yeah, and people who objected to the war or said things like the Dixie Chicks said, they were banned. They were banned from all Clear Channel stations. And Clear Channel organized pro-war rallies and all kinds of nastiness like that. Phil Donahue was kicked off MSNBC because he was anti-war. That's the kind of thing you get when you have monopolies, when you have very few alternative voices. MTV does become this this wasteland, and radio does as well. And that's what we've been seeing around here is, you know, a lot of the same opinion being voiced and no alternatives. Well, it's not only here. I don't know if people have been following what's been going on in Italy. But, boy, you see, this is the kind of thing. When you can watch decent news, you can see what's going on in the world and learn a couple of things. Now, the European Union, basically what happens is every six months they're led by a different country. And last week, the country became Italy. And right away, Silvio Berlusconi, you know who that is? He's the head of Italy, the premier. Right away, he made this extremely offensive remark to a German minister who was criticizing him because he owned all the media in his country. Yeah. The Prime Minister of Italy owns just about every commercial TV station in that country. It's kind of like Bloomberg, you know, having a TV network or a radio network. Actually, he has both, doesn't he? And also being mayor without changing any of those names. Just seems kind of weird, although we accept it now. Didn't used to accept things like that. Anyway, over there it's caused, you know, quite a commotion, and a lot of people have been protesting, saying, you know, this isn't quite right. And that's what this German guy was saying. He was saying, you know, this is a conflict of interest for you to own all this media and also be, you know, the leader of a country. And right now, you know, sort of the leader of the EU. And so his response to this was, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but his basic response in front of everybody was to say that this guy should play the role of a Nazi concentration camp guard in a film that's being produced. He thought it was funny. He really thought it was funny, and you saw him doing it. You saw him saying it. He was laughing. And everybody else was just kind of, my God, did he really just say that? Is the translator right here? Could he really have just made that kind of a remark, insulting somebody? I mean, that's the way to really insult somebody in German, in Germany. If you want to do that, you know, bring up the darkest period of their history and equate them to that. I mean, what an idiot this guy is. Basically, what he did was he took all the criticism that has been thrown his way and validated it, like he's some kind of, you know, parking lot attendant. Just, okay, here it is, I'm stamping it right now. That criticism is now valid. And so I'm surprised he's still in office after this. But you know one of the reasons why he's still in office, why his people have not, gone completely mad with rage that he would say something so offensive? He owns all the media. And the media has been covering this story like it's just a little misunderstanding. The rest of the world is seeing how offensive it was. They're hearing the actual quotes, and in Italy they're just kind of glossing over it. And so a lot of people over there are kind of puzzled as to what all the fuss is about, because they haven't really seen what all the fuss is about. And that's the danger of media monopolies. And it's getting worse, too. Because other people are jumping on the bandwagon as well. This story comes from the Associated Press today. Italy has tried to make amends after a government official branded Germans as stereotyped blondes with a hyper-nationalistic pride. Comments that led Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder to threaten to cancel his planned summer vacation in Italy. Foreign Minister Franco Frattini expressed Tuesday his strong wish that a statement that was unnecessary and out of line doesn't upset in any way the traditional friendship between Italy and Germany. German tourist Noel, they are welcome in our country. As we know, we are welcome guests in Germany, he was quoted as saying in newspapers. Last week, Stefano Stefani, an industry ministry undersecretary, called Germany a country intoxicated with arrogant certainties. We know the Germans well, these stereotyped blondes with a hyper-nationalistic pride who have always been indoctrinated to be first in the class at any cost. He wrote this in the Northern League Party's newspaper, La Padania. Unbelievable. I mean, you have to wonder, what are people thinking when they say these things? Do they not expect any kind of a reaction at all? It's really silly. But, you know, it's underlined by the control of the media and how a certain story can be portrayed one way in one place and a completely different way in another place. You know, here in this country, in this city, actually, I heard a story a few days ago. They were talking about dumping subway cars into the ocean. Have you heard about this? I'm not making this up. I couldn't make this up. If you frequent the subways in New York, you may have noticed that they have these new trains, which, you know, I really don't like that much because they're stupid. They're computerized. They're, you know, but they can't be updated. Announcements can't be updated. So you have automated announcements for trains that haven't been at that particular station in 2 years, and they don't have an easy way to fix it. I mean, how stupid can you be when you make a system, you don't have a way to easily update it? Whereas human beings making the announcement, you know, it's easy to update that because they have brains. So the upshot of this is that they've been dumping the old red trains. If you've been to New York City, you might remember that, especially on the IRT 456 line, 123 line, the trains were, you know, loud, noisy, and they were red. Old trains from, I guess, the 60s, maybe even longer than that. But they worked. You know, they were okay. They weren't bad. Sometimes they weren't air-conditioned, I know. But they were your basic New York subway train. Well, they've been getting rid of them. And they've been getting rid of them by dumping them into the ocean. And I'm not kidding about this. They really are. I mean, they get rid of all the, you know, the stuff that would leak, whatever that might be, on each car. And the stuff that's of value, they strip it down. Then they just dump it into the water. Now, the story I heard said that the MTA is busy making coral reefs off the coast of New Jersey to support up to 200 fish. Up to 200 different kinds of fish. And, you know, the response that the average listener would have would be, well, thank you, MTA, for making it possible for 200 different types of fish to live off the coast of New Jersey. They did not have that ability before. Where would we be if you were not there to dump the subway cars into the ocean so that the fish could live in them? I mean, can I do this when my car dies? Can I just dump it into a lake someplace and say, hey, I'm supporting, you know, 16 kinds of freshwater fish and turtles, you know? Now they can live in something. Something nice, something respectable. Only in America could we dump subway cars into a body of water and consider it an environmental act. You know, something that's actually positive. I mean, aren't there other things you can do with them? Can you melt them down? Can you donate them to a third world country? Make low-cost housing somewhere? I don't know. There's got to be things you can... Prisons! They're always making prisons out of things. Didn't they make a prison out of a boat once? There's got to be something else they can do with these things. Dumping them in the water. But, you know, the way the story is portrayed, not a bit of criticism, not a bit of questioning. I mean, even if I'm completely wrong, and this is the best thing you could possibly do, although I don't see how I could be, at least a statement saying that, saying, well, you might think that this is, you know, polluting the water by dumping subway cars in it, but it's not because of this. And then, you know, quote some bizarre fact. But, no such thing at all. So, yeah, Media control is very important. How you phrase a story, how you say something, it's really really a powerful tool. I'm going to try something right now, actually. I'm getting online here. And those of you who are listening on the computer, I don't know if you can go online and go places. If you have a decent system, you should be able to browse the web and listen to the radio station. Although I know some places you can't do that. You'll crash the entire thing. This might be one of them, actually. But if you try this, let's all try this together. You go to google.com, our favorite search engine. All right? Okay, there. You got Google up on the screen? Now, type in this phrase, and make sure you spell it right. No quotes. Weapons of mass destruction. Okay? You got it? All right. Now, don't hit return. Don't hit return. If you hit return, hit the back key. All right. And now click on I'm Feeling Lucky. And what do you get? Yes, it's still there. These weapons of mass destruction cannot be displayed. The weapons you are looking for are currently unavailable. The country might be experiencing technical difficulties, or you may need to adjust your weapons inspector's mandate. Please try the following. Click the regime change button, or try again later. If you are George Bush and type the country's name in the address bar, make sure that it's spelled correctly. To check your weapons inspector settings, click the UN menu and then click Weapons Inspector Options. On the Security Council tab, click Consensus. The settings should match those provided by your government or NATO. If the Security Council has enabled it, the United States of America can examine your country and automatically discover weapons of mass destruction. If you would like to use the CIA to try and discover them, click Detect Weapons. Some countries require 128,000 troops to liberate them. Click the Panic menu and then click About U.S. Foreign Policy to determine what regime they will install. If you are an old European country trying to protect your interests, make sure your options are left wide open as long as possible. Click the Tools menu and then click on League of Nations. On the Advanced tab, scroll to the Head in the Sand section and check settings for your exports to Iraq. Click the Bomb button if you are Donald Rumsfeld. That is great. It looks exactly like an error that you would get if the page was not found. A little bit of dissent finds its way into the strangest places. And Donald Rumsfeld, oh man, don't get me started on this guy. Big Brother himself. I mean, I don't know if you saw the press conference about a week and a half ago. In case you haven't noticed, our troops are getting slaughtered over there. I mean, you know, it's horrible. It really is horrible. And every time I hear about this, I feel really angry. Angry, sad, you know, all kinds of emotions. Because, you know, people that we know are dying. And there's no war anymore. The war's over. Yet they're standing there and stare. The other day, someone got shot in the back of the head while he was getting a soda at a university. Why are they in this position? Why are they in an impossible situation like this? Where clearly it has not been thought out. Clearly things have not been planned. And you have your sacrificial lambs in the form of United States military. And who's behind the troops now? It's not our government, that's for sure. They're just sending them in to you know, be shot point blank. It's been averaging about one a day, which I think is more than it was averaging during the war, isn't it? At some point, the number of people who have been killed after the war is going to exceed those who were killed during the war. And that's when people are going to start asking some questions. But Donald Rumsfeld, at this press conference, refused to allow this to be called a guerrilla conflict. Even when a reporter took out a dictionary and read the definition of guerrilla war. He still refused to use that word, because if you use that word, you know what happens? People think about Vietnam. Yeah, they think about Vietnam and, you know, quagmires and all that kind of thing. He won't say quagmire either. Okay, fine, don't say quagmire. Quagmire is a, you know, it's a state of being. You know, it's a description that relates to a particular set of events. But a guerrilla war is very easily defined. And that's what you see right now in the streets. Throughout the entire country. And just these word plays, you know, refusing to use a particular way to describe something, it again, sets these images in motion so that you don't think in a particular way. But sometimes you have to think in a particular way. Sometimes you have to question things. I saw Tony Blair this morning. This wasn't broadcast on any American channel, but Tony Blair was having his hide nailed to the barn door by members of Parliament who were demanding to know, where did you get this intelligence that obviously was bogus? Did you deliberately deceive the British people? I mean, having those questions asked right there on TV in front of everybody and having him squirm and stammer and try to explain himself. Why will we never see that here? Why will we never have our leader, who probably wouldn't be able to enunciate his way out of a paper bag, why don't we have that here where he has to explain himself? Yeah, I think the British government was very wrong for agreeing to be part of this in the first place, but at least they're, you know, calling to account just what it was that happened when the facts seemed to be turning out that it wasn't quite true what we were being told. The weapons of mass destruction, being ready to be launched in 45 minutes, the nuclear program, where is it? Come on, really. Where is this evidence? Was there ever any? So, that's the kind of thing that you see if you just look around a little bit. All right, phone number 631-632-WUSB. Oh, and shooting is back in season, isn't it? Everybody's shooting everybody now. Well, okay, the kid in, Jersey, Pennsylvania? He didn't get to shoot anybody, but he was going to. Teen arrested in alleged killing plot was disturbed. Oh, boy. They must have labored all night long to come up with that headline. Yeah, they say that, people were making fun of him. People were making fun of him. That's why he wanted to take out his school and his classmates and various random people. What do you got? A guy today in Mississippi didn't like his work. He killed all his coworkers. Someone else in California, 5 people, including 3 children, found shot to death in a home Tuesday. Police are searching for the vice principal of an elementary school as a suspect. We live in a wacky place. A really wacky place. And yeah, I know, people are going to say, oh, you can't criticize guns. Yeah, you can criticize guns. You know, guns are the reason, not the reason, but the tool people use. The reason is something a bit deeper than that. The reason is something in our culture. But having guns around everywhere so everybody can get access to them, that's basically asking for trouble. And the funny thing is, the thing that really gets me angry about this, you know, these politically correct, bleeding-heart fascist people, they'll go nuts if you even suggest that there should be some kind of safety, regulation, anything concerning guns. But they'll be silent if speech is threatened. And I can prove it. Look at today. Look at what's going on right now. This Patriot Act, people everywhere are looking over their shoulders. Librarians have to report books that people take out if they're about certain subjects. If you take a scuba diving class, if you take an airplane flying class, you will be scrutinized by the federal government. But nothing will happen to you if you buy a gun. This kid's father had a supply that would be fit for an army in his house. His disturbed son got a hold of that. All the ammunition, all the guns. But these people weren't suspects in anything. I'm not saying they should be. I'm just saying, look at the facts. You read a book, you're a suspect. You have an arsenal in your house? Nah. Because that would be infringing on your rights. Well, where are all the gun people now? Where are they? How come you guys aren't speaking out about all the rights that are being lost? For people who read books, people who might be Middle Eastern, people who have interests that go beyond what is considered normal. Yeah, as long as they don't touch your guns, you're going to remain quiet. Because, what, you're going to use these things when things get really bad? Well, you know what, I think things are really bad right now, so what, do I use guns now? When do we decide? When do we decide to use our guns to take back our country? Does somebody ring a bell or something? Do we get a phone call? Something in the mail, maybe? And the funny thing is, whenever you even suggest that, people should be a little bit more careful, right away, you're anti-gun, you know, you're against freedom, you're against all this. And most people I know have never, ever said that guns should be forbidden. People should not have them. I mean, there's all kinds of legitimate reasons. It's this blind allegiance that is very disturbing. And the fact that no other freedom seems to matter, that's really disturbing. I mean, to me, speech is a very important thing. Freedom of association, freedom to gather, freedom to, you know, be who you want to be. So, you see those freedoms disappearing, I think you're obligated to speak up. Okay, 631-632-WUSB, that's our phone number. If you're out there on the internet or listening to us over the FM radio waves, we have about 10 minutes or so to hear what you're up to. Any experiences you might have had in the past couple of weeks, and any thoughts you might have on some of the ramblings that I've been going through tonight. And if you don't call, I can continue to ramble some more. I'll do it, too. I realize the signal takes about a minute and a half to get out to the internet, people, so I'm going to just rustle papers around a little bit until the plea to call gets to them, and then they'll call in. Maybe I can read a funny story in the interim. A woman traveling through Pennsylvania might never again complain about her noisy grandchildren. Their backseat antics may have saved her life, police said. That's right, Patsy Harvey of Muncie, Indiana, climbed into the back seat to quiet the children as her husband, Selby, drove through Harrisburg on Saturday. Minutes later, police said, a falling log crashed through the passenger side windshield. Thank God for noisy kids, said George Dries, assistant chief of the Susquehanna Township Fire Department. As a parent, I never thought I'd have the chance to say that. Well, gee. A tractor trailer had overturned on a highway ramp above the interstate, sending about a dozen logs raining down on the highway. The logs weighed about 1,000 pounds each. No other cars were hit. Of course, there's all kinds of ways you could look at this. You know, if the kids hadn't been making such a racket, maybe the guy driving wouldn't have slowed down so that his wife could have climbed into the back seat, and, you know, the car wouldn't have sustained the damage that it did. You know? There's all kinds of reasons. If they weren't taking the noisy kids in the first place, they'd be in somewhere completely different. But yeah, it's a funny story. Okay, nobody's calling. Nobody's calling. Great. No problem. I can continue with something completely different. What can I talk about? Let's see. What can I talk about here? Local events. Local events. What's been happening locally? Hey, has anybody been driving down Route 347 lately? Especially late at night. Yeah, I can come up with something. I can. The Old Town Road intersection. The traffic light lately has been flashing yellow at night. Yeah, it has been. That's a big intersection. That's a big intersection because they have, you know, all the 24-hour things there. They got the 7-Eleven, they got the Shell station, they've got the new CVS drugstore, they got the Highlight Diner. You know, it's all open 24 hours. There's always traffic going back and forth, but something broke apparently. And at night, you have a flashing yellow on the main road and a flashing red on the side road. And the first time I saw this, there were three cops standing there. You know, three cops. Like, my God, this is horrible. What are we going to do? I mean, three separate cop cars. It's like, you know, a big major deal. If you ever want to figure something out, figure out how many cops are actually in a neighborhood, just take note of the numbers on the cars. I do this in New York all the time, in a particular part of New York. And you realize pretty quickly how few cops there really are because you keep seeing the same cars over and over again. It feels like there's a lot of them because, you know, they travel around in mobs. But there aren't as many as you might think. So probably half the force for the neighborhood was watching that traffic light at that particular moment in time. That's all they were doing, too, is just watching the light. But it got me thinking, especially since I went by the other day and it was flashing again. Why is that a bad thing? You know, late at night when there really aren't as many people out, isn't it the most annoying thing in the world to have to wait at a traffic light that takes 5 minutes to change when no one's around? There's a lot of good things I could say about the city of Berkeley in California, but one of the things that I have to say about that city, which I really like, is that at night, all of the traffic lights in town turn to flashing lights. So it means that you get to an intersection, you look, and you go. Simple as that. It relies on intelligence, not just blindly obeying rules. You know, the other thing I hate are these directional arrows for every direction you could possibly go. So it's not enough that you have a green light. You don't have a green arrow, so you got to sit and wait, even though nobody's coming in any direction, because we're too stupid to figure it out ourselves. We have to have lights and regulations everywhere we go. I say bring back the flashing yellow lights. Make them appear everywhere at night. Let's use our brains. Funny, you know, while I was in the middle of that, I had four calls. Or was it one call that jumped the line for? I don't know. And now they're all gone. Well, it's okay, because we only have about 2 minutes left. In fact, I got to pick out a piece of music to go out with. So, I know. I can try something. I can't get calls coming in. I can now. I wonder if the internet feed might not be working. That could be. That's always possible. We talked on the other show about the Do Not Call registry that has been started in this country, where you basically can stop telemarketers from calling you. And we demonstrated, this was on Off the Hook last week, how you could pretty much cancel anybody without any kind of verification whatsoever. The day after we demonstrated that, it went away. So obviously it had some effect, which I think is a good thing. We can show a security hole. It's something good. Now, let's see. I'm trying to find the phone number that that you would call to set yourself up to not be called. And I'm sorry, it's a little hard to do this on the air. But supposedly it started. Okay, I'm scrolling down right now. Last week we weren't able to do this. Okay, here we go. Registry's toll-free number. Let's try it now. The phone is working. Good. Outside dial tone. All right. Yeah, now the calls come in. Of course the calls come in now.
To the National Do Not Call Registry. For English, press 1 now.
Bienvenido al Registro Nacional. No llame.
English.
To register by phone, you must be calling from the number you want to register.
We'll see.
If you are not, please use our website at donotcall.gov.
And that's the weakness right there. You can register any phone number from the website.
The National Do Not Call Registry is brought to you by the State of New York and the Federal Trade Commission.
How nice.
To register your phone number, press 1. To verify your registration, press 2.
All right, let's register.
To delete your registration, press 3. You must be calling from the number you want to register. If you are not, please call back from that number. Or you may register now by using our website at donotcall.gov. Remember, you are registering for everyone in your household who uses this number. Beginning with the area code, please enter your 10-digit phone number.
Well, if you don't know my number, then you can't really register. Let's try the White House. We're just testing it.
The number you entered is 202-456-1414. If this is your telephone number, press 1.
Okay.
If you're sorry, the number you entered does not match the number you are calling from.
Ah, okay.
If you are calling from the number you want to register, please try again. Beginning with the area code, please enter your 10-digit phone number.
Okay, let's try the number that we really are calling from now. See if that works.
Thank you. Due to unusually heavy demand, your number will be registered within the next 24 hours. Your registration will be effective for 5 years. If your phone number changes, you must register your new number. Beginning October 1st, if a telemarketer calls you and you want to file a complaint, get the company's name or phone number. You can file a complaint at donotcall.gov or at this number. Thank you for calling the National Do Not Call Registry.
Well, it works to a degree. I can see what they did, though. They don't want people to use this to find out what their phone number is. So they don't tell you your phone number. They only tell you if you get it right. So, yeah, they did a little better this time. We'll still see if it's possible to get around this system, which I think it is. In the meantime, WUSB will not be receiving calls from telemarketers for the next 5 years. Hopefully that won't offend anybody. And if it does, I hope they speak out loudly and rudely. And until next week when we do the same thing here, this is Emmanuel Goldstein. Have yourselves a good night. We'll see you tomorrow night on the other station. And continue to listen to WUSB, whether on the air or online. And we'll see you next week. Good night.